but he doesn't wait forever. Hello, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is a daily podcast, and we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. How's your day going? I'm happy to see you. Welcome. In our reading today, we're going to complete the book of Jeremiah with a reading of chapters 47 through 52. And we'll also begin the book of Lamentations with the reading of chapters 1 and 2. I'm calling the episode, The Weeping Prophet. Now, this is a long reading today because of the fact that we're catching up from the missed episodes caused by my unexpected hospital stay. And next Friday's episode will be a bit long as well, and then we'll be caught up and back to the regular schedule. Thank you for your patience. Today, I'll read those final chapters from Jeremiah, and then I'll have a brief introduction to Lamentations before reading chapters 1 and 2. And after the reading, I'll have some brief comments on the closing chapters of Jeremiah. And after this, I'll have an On This Day in Church History segment about a very important figure that you should know about. Then we'll have a brief time of prayer to close the episode. Today's show notes page is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E156, and that's where you can comment on the episode. Now, with all of that said, what do you say we get started? Jeremiah chapter 47. This is the Lord's message to the prophet Jeremiah concerning the Philistines of Gaza, before it was captured by the Egyptian army. This is what the Lord says. A flood is coming from the north to overflow the land. It will destroy the land and everything in it, cities and people alike. People will scream in terror, and everyone in the land will wail. Hear the clatter of stallions' hooves and the rumble of wheels as the chariots rush by. Terrified fathers run madly, without a backward glance at their helpless children. The time has come for the Philistines to be destroyed, along with their allies from Tyre and Sidon. Yes, the Lord is destroying the remnant of the Philistines, those colonists from the land of Crete. Gaza will be humiliated, its head shaved bald. Ashkelon will lie silent. You remnant from the Mediterranean coast, how long will you cut yourselves in mourning? Now, O sword of the Lord, when will you be at rest again? Go back into your sheath. Rest and be still. But how can it be still when the Lord has sent it on a mission? For the city of Ashkelon and the people living along the sea must be destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 48. This message was given concerning Moab. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. What sorrow awaits the city of Nebo! It will soon lie in ruins. The city of Kiriathaim will be humiliated and captured. The fortress will be humiliated and broken down. No one will ever brag about Moab again, for in Heshbon there is a plot to destroy her. Come, they say, we will cut her off from being a nation. The town of Madmen, too, will be silenced. The sword will follow you there. Listen to the cries from Horonaim, cries of devastation and great destruction. All Moab is destroyed. Her little ones will cry out. Her refugees weep bitterly, climbing the slope to Luhith. They cry out in terror, descending the slope to Horonaim. Flee for your lives, hide in the wilderness. Because you have trusted in your wealth and skill, you will be taken captive. Your god Chemosh, with his priests and officials, will be hauled off to distant lands. All the towns will be destroyed, and no one will escape, either on the plateaus or in the valleys, for the Lord has spoken. Oh, that Moab had wings so she could fly away, for her towns will be left empty, with no one living in them. Cursed are those who refuse to do the Lord's work, who hold back their swords from shedding blood. From its earliest history, Moab has lived in peace, never going into exile. He is like wine that has been allowed to settle. He has not been poured from flask to flask, and he is now fragrant and smooth. But the time is coming soon, says the Lord, when I will send men to pour him from his jar. They will pour him out, then shatter the jar. At last, Moab will be ashamed of his idol Chemosh, as the people of Israel were ashamed of their gold calf at Bethel. You used to boast, "We are heroes, mighty men of war," but now Moab and his towns will be destroyed. His most promising youth are doomed to slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord of Heaven's armies. Destruction is coming fast for Moab. Calamity threatens ominously. You friends of Moab, weep for him and cry. See how the strong scepter is broken, how the beautiful staff is shattered. Come down now from your glory and sit in the dust, you people of Dibon. For those who destroy Moab will shatter Dibon too. They will tear down all your towers. You people of Aroer, stand beside the road and watch. Shout to those who flee from Moab, what has happened here? And the reply comes back, Moab lies in ruins, disgraced, weep and wail. Tell it by the banks of the Arnon River, Moab has been destroyed. Judgment has been poured out on the towns of the plateau, on Holon and Jahaz and Mephaeth, on Dibon and Nebo and Beth Diblathaim, on Kiriathaim and Beth Gamel and Beth Meon, on Kirioth and Bozrah, all the towns of Moab, far and near. The strength of Moab has ended. His arm has been broken, says the Lord. Let him stagger and fall like a drunkard, for he has rebelled against the Lord. Moab will wallow in his own vomit, ridiculed by all. Did you not ridicule the people of Israel? Were they caught in the company of thieves that you should despise them as you do? You people of Moab, flee from your towns and live in the caves. Hide like doves that nest in the clefts of the rocks. We have all heard of the pride of Moab, for his pride is very great. We know of his lofty pride, his arrogance, and his haughty heart. I know about his insolence, says the Lord, but his boasts are empty as his deeds. So now I will wail for Moab. Yes, I will mourn for Moab. My heart is broken for the men of Kir Harosheth. You people of Sibmah, rich in vineyards, I will weep for you even more than I did for Jazer. Your spreading vines once reached as far as the Dead Sea, but the destroyer has stripped you bare. He has harvested your grapes and summer fruits. Joy and gladness are gone from fruitful Moab. The presses yield no wine. No one treads the grapes with shouts of joy. There is shouting, yes, but not of joy. Instead, their awful cries of terror can be heard from Heshbon clear across to Eliela and Jahaz, from Zoar all the way to Horonaim and Eglath Shelishiya. Even the waters of Nimrim are dried up now. I will put an end to Moab, says the Lord, for the people offer sacrifices at the pagan shrines and burn incense to their false gods. My heart mourns like a flute for Moab and Kir Harosheth, for all their wealth has disappeared. The people shave their heads and beards in mourning. They slash their hands and put on clothes made of burlap. There is crying and sorrow in every Moabite home and on every street. For I have smashed Moab like an old unwanted jar. How it is shattered! Hear the wailing! See the shame of Moab! It has become an object of ridicule, an example of ruin to all its neighbors. This is what the Lord says. Look, the enemy swoops down like an eagle, spreading its wings over Moab. Its cities will fall, and its strongholds will be seized. Even the mightiest warriors will be in anguish like a woman in labor. Moab will no longer be a nation, for it has boasted against the Lord. Terror and traps and snares will be your lot, O Moab, says the Lord. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will step into a snare. I will see to it that you do not get away, for the time of your judgment is come, says the Lord. The people flee as far as Heshbon, but are unable to go on. For a fire comes from Heshbon, King Sihon's ancient home, to devour the entire land with all its rebellious people. What sorrow awaits you, O people of Moab! The people of the god of Chemosh are destroyed. Your sons and your daughters have been taken away as captives. But I will restore the fortunes of Moab in days to come. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the end of Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Moab. Jeremiah chapter 49. This message was given concerning the Ammonites. This is what the Lord says. Are there no descendants of Israel to inherit the land of Gad? Why are you who worship Molech living in its towns? In the days to come, says the Lord, I will sound the battle cry against your city of Rabbah. It will become a desolate heap of ruins, and the neighboring towns will be burned. Then Israel will take back the land you took from her, says the Lord. Cry out, O Heshbon, for the town of Ai is destroyed. Weep, O people of Rabbah. Put on your clothes of mourning. Weep and wail, hiding in the hedges, for your god Molech, with his priests and officials, will be hauled off to distant lands. You are proud of your fertile valleys, but they will soon be ruined. You trusted in your wealth, you rebellious daughter, and thought no one could ever harm you. But look, I will bring terror upon you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Your neighbors will chase you from your land, and no one will help your exiles as they flee. But I will restore the fortunes of the Ammonites in days to come. I, the Lord, have spoken. This message was given concerning Edom. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Is there no wisdom in Teman? Is no one left to give wise counsel? Turn and flee. Hide in deep caves, you people of Dedan. For when I bring disaster on Edom, I will punish you too. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. If thieves came at night, they would not take everything. But I will strip bare the land of Edom, and there will be no place left to hide. Its children, its brothers, and its neighbors will all be destroyed, and Edom itself will be no more. But I will protect the orphans who remain among you. Your widows too can depend on me for help. And this is what the Lord says. If the innocent must suffer, how much more must you? You will not go unpunished. You must drink this cup of judgment. For I have sworn by my own name, says the Lord, that Bozrah will become an object of horror and a heap of ruins. It will be mocked and cursed. All its towns and villages will be desolate forever. I have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, form a coalition against Edom and prepare for battle. The Lord says to Edom, I will cut you down to size among the nations. You will be destroyed by all. You have been deceived by the fear you inspire in others and by your own pride. You live in a rock fortress and control the mountain heights. But even if you make your nest among the peaks with the eagles, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. Edom will be an object of horror. All who pass by will be appalled and will grasp at the destruction they see there. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, says the Lord. No one will live there. No one will inhabit it. I will come like a lion from the thickets of the Jordan, leaping on the sheep in the pasture. I will chase Edom from its land, and I will appoint the leader of my choice. For who is like me, and who can challenge me? What ruler can oppose my will? Listen to the Lord's plans against Edom and the people of Teman. Even the little children will be dragged off like sheep, and their homes will be destroyed. The earth will shake with the noise of Edom's fall, and its cry of despair will be heard all the way to the Red Sea. Look, the enemy swoops down like an eagle, spreading its wings over Bozrah. Even the mightiest warriors will be in anguish like a woman in labor. This message was given concerning Damascus. This is what the Lord says. The towns of Hamath and Arpad are struck with fear, for they have heard the news of their destruction. Their hearts are troubled like a wild sea in a raging storm. Damascus has become feeble, and all her people turn to flee. Fear, anguish, and pain have gripped her as they grip a woman in labor. That famous city, a city of joy, will be forsaken. Her young men will fall in the streets and die. Her soldiers will all be killed, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And I will set fire to the walls of Damascus that will burn up the palaces of Ben-Hadad. This message was given concerning Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, which were attacked by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. This is what the Lord says. Advance against Kedar. Destroy the warriors from the east. Their flocks and tents will be captured, and their household goods and camels will be taken away. Everywhere shouts of panic will be heard. We are terrorized at every turn. Run for your lives, says the Lord. Hide yourselves in deep caves, you people of Hazor. For King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has plotted against you and is preparing to destroy you. Go up and attack that complacent nation, says the Lord. Its people live alone in the desert without walls or gates. Their camels and other livestock will all be yours. I will scatter to the winds these people who live in remote places. I will bring calamity upon them from every direction, says the Lord. Hazor will be inhabited by jackals, and it will be desolate forever. No one will live there. No one will inhabit it. This message concerning Elam came to the prophet Jeremiah from the Lord at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. I will destroy the archers of Elam, the best of their forces. I will bring enemies from all directions. I will scatter the people of Elam to the four winds. They will be exiled to countries around the world. I myself will go with Elam's enemies to shatter it. In my fierce anger, I will bring great disaster upon the people of Elam, says the Lord. Their enemies will chase them with a sword until I have destroyed them completely. I will set my throne in Elam, says the Lord, and I will destroy its kings and officials. But I will restore the fortunes of Elam in days to come. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah chapter 50. The word the Lord spoke about Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, through Jeremiah the prophet. Announce to the nations, proclaim and raise up a signal flag, proclaim and hide nothing. Say, Babylon is captured, Bel is put to shame, Marduk is devastated, her idols are put to shame, her false gods devastated. For a nation from the north will come against her, it will make her land desolate, no one will be living in it, both man and beast will escape. In those days and at that time, this is the Lord's declaration, the Israelites and Judeans will come together, weeping as they come, and will seek the Lord their God. They will ask about Zion, turning their faces to this road. They will come and join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will never be forgotten. My people are lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, guiding them the wrong way in the mountains. They have wandered from hill to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them devoured them. Their adversaries said, "We're not guilty." Instead, they have sinned against the Lord, their righteous grazing land, the hope of their ancestors, the Lord. Escape from Babylon. Depart from the Chaldeans' land. Be like the rams that lead the flock, for I will soon stir up and bring against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. They will line up in battle formation against her. From there she will be captured. Their arrows will be like those of a skilled warrior who does not return empty-handed. The Chaldeans will become plunder. All Babylon's plunderers will be fully satisfied. This is the Lord's declaration. Because you rejoice, because you sing in triumph, you who plundered my inheritance, because you frolic like a young cow treading grain and neigh like stallions, your mother will be utterly humiliated. She who bore you will be put to shame. Look, she will lag behind all the nations, a dry land, a wilderness, and Arabah. Because of the Lord's wrath, she will not be inhabited. She will become a desolation, every bit of her. Everyone who passes through Babylon will be horrified and scoff because of all her wounds. Line up in battle formation around Babylon, all you archers. Shoot at her. Do not spare an arrow, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise a war cry against her on every side. She has thrown up her hands in surrender. Her defense towers have fallen. Her walls are demolished. Since this is the Lord's vengeance, take out your vengeance on her. As she has done, do the same to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, as well as him who wields the sickle at harvest time. Because of the oppressor's sword, each will turn to his own people. Each will flee to his own land. Israel is a stray lamb chased by lions. The first who devoured him was the king of Assyria. The last one who crushed his bones was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore, this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says. I am about to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. I will return Israel to his grazing land, and he will feed on Carmel and Bashan. He will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and of Gilead. In those days and at that time, this is the Lord's declaration, one will search for Israel's guilt, but there will be none, and for Judah's sins, but they will not be found. For I will forgive those I leave as a remnant. Go against the land of Marathaim, and against those living in Pekod. Put them to the sword, completely destroy them. This is the Lord's declaration. Do everything I've commanded you. The sound of war is in the land, a great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth is cut down and smashed. What a horror Babylon has become among the nations. Babylon, I laid a trap for you and you were caught, but you did not even know it. You were found and captured because you fought against the Lord. The Lord opened his armory and brought out his weapons of wrath, because it is a task of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the most distant places. Open her granaries. Pile her up like mounds of grain and completely destroy her. Leave her no survivors. Put all her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them because their day has come, the time of their punishment. There is a voice of fugitives and those who escape from the land of Babylon, announcing in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance for his temple. Summon the archers to Babylon, all who string the bow. Camp all around her, let none escape. Repay her according to her deeds. Just as she has done, do the same to her, for she has acted arrogantly against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men will fall in her public squares. All the warriors will perish in that day. This is the Lord's declaration. Look, I am against you, you arrogant one. This is the declaration of the Lord God of hosts, because your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The arrogant will stumble and fall, with no one to pick them up. I will set fire to his cities, and it will consume everything around him. This is what the Lord of hosts says. Israelites and Judeans alike have been oppressed. All their captors hold them fast. They refuse to release them. Their Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He will fervently plead their case so that he might bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to those who live in Babylon. A sword is over the Chaldeans. This is the Lord's declaration. Against those who live in Babylon, against her officials, and against her sages. A sword is against the diviners, and they will act foolishly. A sword is against her heroic warriors, and they will be terrified. A sword is against his horses and chariots, and against all the foreigners among them, and they will be like women. A sword is against her treasuries, and they will be plundered. A drought will come on her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is a land of carved images, and they go mad because of terrifying things. Therefore, desert creatures will live with hyenas, and ostriches will also live in her. It will never again be inhabited or lived in through all generations. Just as God demolished Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, this is the Lord's declaration, so no one will live there. No human being will even stay in it as a temporary resident. Look, a people comes from the north. A great nation and many kings will be stirred up from the remote regions of the earth. They grasp bow and javelin. They are cruel and show no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses, lined up like men in battle formation against you, daughter Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard reports about them, and his hands fall helpless. Distress has seized him, pain like a woman in labor. Look, it will be like a lion coming from the thickets of the Jordan to the watered grazing land. Indeed, I will chase Babylon away from her land in a flash. I will appoint whoever is chosen for her. For who is like me? Who will summon me? Who is the shepherd who can stand against me? Therefore, hear the plans that the Lord has drawn up against Babylon, and the strategies he has devised against the land of the Chaldeans. Certainly the flock's little lambs will be dragged away. Certainly the grazing land will be made desolate because of them. At the sound of Babylon's conquest, the earth will quake. A cry will be heard among the nations. Jeremiah chapter 51. This is what the Lord says. I am about to stir up a destructive wind against Babylon and against the population of Leb-Kemai. I will send strangers to Babylon who will scatter her and strip her land bare, for they will come against her from every side in the day of disaster. Don't let the archer string his bow. Don't let him put on his armor. Don't spare her young men. Completely destroy her entire army. Those who were slain will fall in the land of the Chaldeans, those who were pierced through in her streets. For Israel and Judah are not left widowed by their God, the Lord of hosts, though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel. Leave Babylon. Save your lives, each of you. Don't perish because of her guilt. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will pay her what she deserves. Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand, making the whole earth drunk. The nations drank her wine, therefore the nations go mad. Suddenly Babylon fell and was shattered. Wail for her. Get balm for her wound. Perhaps she can be healed. We tried to heal Babylon, but she could not be healed. Abandon her. Let each of us go to his own land. For her judgment extends to the sky and reaches as far as the clouds. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come, let's tell in Zion what the Lord our God has accomplished. Sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has put it into the mind of the kings of the Medes because his plan is aimed at Babylon to destroy her, for it is the Lord's vengeance, vengeance for his temple. Raise up a signal flag against the walls of Babylon. Fortify the watchpost. Set the watchman in place. Prepare the ambush. For the Lord has both planned and accomplished what he has threatened against those who live in Babylon. You who reside by many waters, rich in treasures, your end is come, your life thread is cut. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, I will fill you up with men as with locusts, as they will sing the victory song over you. He made the earth by his power, established the world by his wisdom, and spread out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens are in turmoil, and he causes the clouds to rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is stupid and ignorant. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his carved image, for his cast images are a lie. There is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work to be mocked. At the time of their punishment, they will be destroyed. Jacob's portion is not like these, because he is the one who formed all things. Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh of hosts is his name. You are my battle club, my weapons of war. With you I will smash nations. With you I will bring kingdoms to ruin. With you I will smash the horse and its rider. With you I will smash the chariot and its rider. With you I will smash man and woman. With you I will smash the old man and the youth. With you I will smash the young man and the young woman. With you I will smash the shepherd and his flock. With you I will smash the farmer and his ox team. With you I will smash governors and officials. I will repay Babylon and all the residents of Chaldea for all their evil they have done in Zion before your very eyes. This is the Lord's declaration. Look, I am against you, devastating mountain. This is the Lord's declaration. You devastate the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the cliffs, and turn you into a charred mountain. No one will be able to retrieve a cornerstone or a foundation stone from you, because you will become desolate forever. This is the Lord's declaration. Raise a signal flag in the land. Blow a ram's horn among the nations. Set apart the nations against her. Summon kingdoms against her, Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Bring up horses like a swarm of locusts. Set the nations for battle against her, the kings of Media, her governors and all her officials, and all the lands they rule. The earth quakes and trembles because the Lord's intentions against Babylon stand to make the land of Babylon an uninhabited desolation. Babylon's warriors have stopped fighting. They sit in their strongholds. Their might is exhausted. They have become like women. Babylon's homes have been set ablaze. Her gate bars are shattered. Messenger races to meet messenger and herald to meet herald, to announce the king of Babylon that his city has been captured from end to end. The fords have been seized, the marshes set on fire, and the soldiers are terrified. For this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says. Daughter Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time it is trampled. In just a little while her harvest time will come. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has set me aside like an empty dish. He has swallowed me like a sea monster. He filled his belly on my delicacies. He has vomited me out, says the inhabitant of Zion. Let the violence done to me and my family be done to Babylon. Let my blood be on the inhabitants of Chaldea, says Jerusalem. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to plead your case and take vengeance on your behalf. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain run dry. Babylon will become a heap of rubble, a jackal's den, a desolation and an object of scorn without inhabitant. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lion cubs. While they are flushed with heat, I will serve them a feast, and I will make them drunk so that they revel. Then they will fall asleep forever and never wake up. This is the Lord's declaration. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with male goats. How Shishak has been captured, the praise of the whole earth seized. What a horror Babylon has become among the nations. The sea has risen over Babylon. She is covered with its turbulent waves. Her cities have become a desolation, a dry and arid land, a land where no one lives, where no human being passes through. I will punish Bel in Babylon, I will make him vomit what he has swallowed. The nations will no longer stream to him. Even Babylon's wall will fall. Come out from among her, my people. Save your lives, each of you, from the Lord's burning anger. May you not become cowardly and fearful when the report is proclaimed in the land, for the report will come one year, and then another the next year. There will be violence in the land with ruler against ruler. Therefore, look, the days are coming when I will punish Babylon's carved images. Her entire land will suffer shame, and all her slain will lie fallen within her. Heaven and earth and everything in them will shout for joy over Babylon, because the destroyers from the north will come against her. This is the Lord's declaration. Babylon must fall because of the slain of Israel, even as the slain of all the earth fell because of Babylon. You who have escaped the sword, go and do not stand still. Remember the Lord from far away, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard insults. Humiliation covers our faces because foreigners have entered the holy places of the Lord's temple. Therefore, look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I will punish her carved images, and the wounded will groan throughout her land. Even if Babylon should ascend to the heavens and fortify her tall fortresses, destroyers will come against her from me. This is the Lord's declaration. The sound of a cry from Babylon, the sound of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is going to devastate Babylon. He will silence her mighty voice. Their waves roar like abundant waters. The tumult of their voice resounds. For a destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon. Her warriors will be captured, their bows shattered, for the Lord is a God of retribution. He will certainly repay. I will make her princes and sages drunk, along with her governors, officials, and warriors. Then they will fall asleep forever and never wake up. This is the Lord's declaration. Yahweh of hosts is his name. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Babylon's thick walls will be totally demolished, and her high gates consumed by fire. The peoples will have labored for nothing. The nations will exhaust themselves only to feed the fire. This is what Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, son of Neriah, son of Messiah, the quartermaster, when he went to Babylon with King Zedekiah of Judah in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign. Jeremiah wrote on one scroll all about the disaster that would come to Babylon. All these words were written against Babylon. Jeremiah told Seraiah, "When you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud. You must say, 'Lord, you have threatened to cut off this place so that no one will live in it, man or beast. Indeed, it will remain desolate forever.' When you have finished reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates River. Then say, 'In the same way, Babylon will sink and never rise again because of the disaster I am bringing on her. They will grow weary.'" The words of Jeremiah end here. Jeremiah chapter 52. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah. She was from Libna. Zedekiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Jehoiakim had done. Because of the Lord's anger, it came to the point in Jerusalem and Judah that he finally banished them from his presence. Nevertheless, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon advanced against Jerusalem with his entire army. They laid siege to the city and built a siege wall all around it. The city was under siege until King Zedekiah's 11th year. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that the people of the land had no food. Then the city was broken into, and all the warriors fled. They left the city by night, by way of the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, though the Chaldeans surrounded the city. They made their way along the route to Araba. The Chaldean army pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. Zedekiah's entire family was scattered from him. The Chaldeans seized the king and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. At Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered Zedekiah's sons before his eyes and also slaughtered the Judean commanders. Then he blinded Zedekiah and bound him with bronze chains. The king of Babylon brought Zedekiah to Babylon, where he kept him in custody until his dying day. On the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, entered Jerusalem as the representative of the king of Babylon. He burned the Lord's temple, the king's palace, all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the nobles. The whole Chaldean army, with the commander of the guards, tore down all the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, deported some of the poorest of the people, as well as the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had defected to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But some of the poorest people of the land of Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, left to be vine dressers and farmers. Now the Chaldeans broke into pieces the bronze pillars for the Lord's temple, and the water carts, and the bronze reservoir that were in the Lord's temple, and carried all the bronze to Babylon. They took the pots, shovels, wick trimmers, sprinkling basins, dishes, and all the bronze articles used in the temple service. The commander of the guards took away the bowls, fire pans, sprinkling basins, pots, lampstands, pans, and drink offering bowls, whatever was gold or silver. As for the two pillars, the one reservoir, and the 12 bronze bowls under the water carts that King Solomon had made for the Lord's temple, the weight of the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. One pillar was 27 feet tall, had a circumference of 18 feet, was hollow, 4 fingers thick, and had a bronze capital on top of it. One capital, encircled by bronze latticework and pomegranates, stood 7.5 feet high. The second pillar was the same, with pomegranates. Each capital had 96 pomegranates all around it. All the pomegranates around the latticework numbered 100. The commander of the guards also took away Seraiah the chief priest, Zephaniah the priest of the second rank, and the 3 doorkeepers. From the city he took a court official who had been appointed over the warriors, 7 trusted royal aides found in the city, the secretary of the commander of the army, who enlisted the people of the land for military duty, and 60 men from the common people who were found within the city. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. The king of Babylon put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile from its land. These are the people Nebuchadnezzar deported. In the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In his 18th year, 832 people from Jerusalem. In Nebuchadnezzar's 23rd year, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, deported 745 Jews. Altogether, 4,600 people were deported. On the 25th day of the 12th month of the 37th year of the exile of Judah's king Jehoiakim, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, pardoned King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, and he dined regularly in the presence of the king of Babylon for the rest of his life. As for his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, for the rest of his life. The Book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah as a sort of appendix to the Book of Jeremiah. As David and others wrote many sacred songs of joy, these are sacred songs of lament, or sadness. Jeremiah is expressing his sadness at seeing his prophecies fulfilled. Even though he was ill-treated by his countrymen when he delivered God's messages to them, he's nonetheless heartbroken at the destruction that has come upon them. He wrote these songs, or odes, when he saw the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem by the Chaldean army and the falling apart of the Jewish state, both the government and the body of Jewish believers. You might refer to this as a dirge for Jerusalem. Lamentations chapter 1. How she sits alone, the city once crowded with people. She who was great among the nations has become like a widow. The princess among the provinces has been put to forced labor. She weeps aloud during the night with tears on her cheeks. There is no one to offer her comfort, not one from all her lovers. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile following affliction and harsh slavery. She lives among the nations but finds no place to rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in narrow places. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the appointed festivals. All her gates are deserted. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease, for the Lord has made her suffer because of her many transgressions. Her children have gone away as captives before the adversary. All her splendor has vanished from daughter Zion. Her leaders are like stags that find no pasture. They walk away exhausted before the hunter. During the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious belongings that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into the adversary's hand, she had no one to help. The adversaries looked at her, laughing over her downfall. Jerusalem has sinned grievously. Therefore, she has become an object of scorn. All who honored her now despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanness stains her skirts. She never considered her end. Her downfall was astonishing. There was no one to comfort her. Lord, look on my affliction, for the enemy triumphs. The adversary has seized all her precious belongings. She has even seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan while they search for bread. They have traded their precious belongings for food in order to stay alive. Lord, look and see how I have become despised. Is this nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see. Is there any pain like mine which was dealt out to me, which the Lord made me suffer on the day of his burning anger? He sent fire from heaven into my bones. He made it descend. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, sick all day long. My transgressions have been formed into a yoke, fastened together by his hand. They have been placed on my neck, and the Lord has broken my strength. He has handed me over to those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the mighty men within me. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young warriors. The Lord has trampled virgin daughter Judah like grapes in a winepress. I weep because of these things. My eyes flow with tears, for there is no one nearby to comfort me, no one to keep me alive. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands. There is no one to comfort her. The Lord has issued a decree against Jacob that his neighbors should be his adversaries. Jerusalem has become something impure among them. The Lord is just, for I have rebelled against his command. Listen, all you people, look at my pain. My young men and women have gone into captivity. I called to my lovers, but they betrayed me. My priests and elders perished in the city while searching for food to keep themselves alive. Lord, see how I am in distress. I am churning within. My heart is broken, for I have been very rebellious. Outside, the sword takes the children. Inside, there is death. People have heard me groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my misfortune. They're glad that you have caused it. Bring on the day you have announced, so that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you, and deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my transgressions. For my groans are many, and I am sick at heart. Lamentations chapter 2. How the Lord has overshadowed daughter Zion with his anger. He has thrown down Israel's glory from heaven to earth. He has abandoned his footstool in the day of his anger. Without compassion, the Lord has swallowed up all the dwellings of Jacob. In his wrath, he has demolished the fortified cities of daughter Judah. He brought them to the ground and defiled the kingdom and its leaders. He has cut off every horn of Israel in his burning anger, and withdrawn his right hand in the presence of the enemy. He has blazed against Jacob like a flaming fire that consumes everything. He has bent his bow like an enemy. His right hand is positioned like an adversary. He has killed everyone who was loved, pouring out his wrath like fire on the tent of daughter Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He swallowed up all its palaces and destroyed its fortified cities. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation within daughter Judah. He has done violence to his temple as if it were a garden booth, destroying his place of meeting. The Lord has abolished appointed festivals and Sabbaths in Zion. He has despised king and priest in his fierce anger. The Lord has rejected his altar, repudiated his sanctuary. He has handed the walls of her palaces over to the enemy. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord as on the day of an appointed festival. The Lord determined to destroy the wall of daughter Zion. He stretched out a measuring line and did not restrain himself from destroying. He made the ramparts and walls grieve. Together they waste away. Zion's gates have fallen to the ground. He has destroyed and shattered the bars on her gates. Her king and her leaders live among the nations. Instruction is no more, and even her prophets receive no vision from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have thrown dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes are worn out from weeping. I am churning within. My heart is poured out in grief because of the destruction of my dear people, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They cry out to their mothers, "Where is the grain and wine?" as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives fade away in the arms of their mothers. What can I say on your behalf? What can I compare you to, daughter Jerusalem? What can I liken you to, so that I may console you, virgin daughter Zion? For your ruin is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets saw visions for you that were empty and deceptive. They did not reveal your guilt and so restore your fortunes. They saw oracles for you that were empty and misleading. All who pass by scornfully clap their hands at you. They mock and shake their heads at daughter Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies open their mouths against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth, saying, "We have swallowed her up. This is the day we've waited for. We have lived to see it." The Lord has done what he planned. He has accomplished his decree, which he ordained in days of old. He has demolished without compassion, letting the enemy gloat over you and exalting the horn of your adversaries. The hearts of the people cry out to the Lord. Wall of daughter Zion, let your tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief and your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night from the first watch of the night. Pour out your heart like water before the Lord's presence. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who are fainting from hunger on the corner of every street. Lord, look and consider who you have done this to. Should women eat their own children, the infants they have nurtured? Should priests and prophets be killed in the Lord's sanctuary? Both young and old are lying on the ground in the streets. My young men and women have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without compassion. You summoned my attackers on every side, as if for an appointed festival day. On the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. My enemy has destroyed those I nurtured and reared.
So, as we close out Jeremiah, much of what we read was God warning the people of coming judgment, and that does not make for fun reading, does it? But imagine how difficult it was to be in Jeremiah's shoes, being the one chosen to deliver these messages. No wonder he's known as the weeping prophet. It's much more enjoyable to talk about the love of God, his faithfulness, his love, his forgiveness, his grace. But for there to be forgiveness and grace, there has to be a turning away from sin. There has to be repentance. And often the people who were under judgment showed that they had no interest in following the will of the Lord. In Genesis 6:3, God said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever." God is patient, but he doesn't wait forever. This is true for nations, and it's true with individuals. Beloved, it would be good for each of us if there's something in our life that we know is not pleasing to God, to come to grips with it and ask for forgiveness and his strength to leave it behind, to get it out of our life. Think about how terrible it would be to continue to ignore his pleading to turn to him, how terrible it would be to come to the end of God's patience. What do you think? Comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E156. Tomorrow we'll read Luke 9 and 10.
Boost.
On this date in church history, February 4th, 1906, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was born. He was the German Lutheran pastor and theologian, and a secret member of the German resistance movement during World War II. He was arrested by the Gestapo in April 1943 and later hanged at the Flossenbürg concentration camp. His best-known writings are The Cost of Discipleship, Ethics, and Letters and Papers from Prison. If you've never read Bonhoeffer, I heartily recommend it. Beloved, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You're worthy of our worship, our praise, and our devotion, and we are so unworthy of Your mercy and grace and love. We can't earn anything good from You, and yet because of Your amazing love, You allow us to come to You in faith, offering our hearts to You. Thank You. And Lord, I thank You for each person listening right now, the LifeSpring family. I pray that You would speak to each person wherever they are, whenever they hear this, and let them know, Lord, how much You love them. I pray that each one would give themselves to You more completely than they ever have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Send in your prayer requests and praises, beloved. Go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. I'll pray for you in my daily private prayer time, and we'll pray together on the show so that we can all agree together as we take our requests and praises to God. It's always so encouraging to hear what God is doing in your life. Send those praises in. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E156. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And please, support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.